This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
It's 6:06. Welcome to Inside Story. You're with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Today, we're discussing the latest Facebook data breach, where more than 11 million Malaysian Facebook users have had their personal data hacked.
So first, to understand what exactly happened and how this information leaked in the first place, we speak with Swaran Singh, partner at Law Partnership.
And then we look at what we can do to keep ourselves safer online. So for this, we'll be joined by CF Fong, CEO of cybersecurity consultant for LGMS.
Finally, we discuss whether legal action against tech companies is a possibility with data protection lawyer Tong Lai Ling. This is Inside Story.
It is 6:06. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lin. So on Monday, it was reported that there had been a data breach and more than 500 million Facebook users from 106 countries around the world have had their data leaked. This has been leaked onto a low-level hacking forum. Now, when you bring that down to Malaysia, this impacts about 11 million Facebook users here in Malaysia. So that's not a small number. And when you look at the kind of data that has been leaked, this includes things like Facebook IDs, phone numbers, full names, their locations, including past locations, email addresses, and some biographical information. And this is just some of the things that have been posted on these forums. And the thing that is worrying about this is that this data can then be used to impersonate people or to commit fraud.
Yeah. And once again, I think it highlights the amount of information that we actually have on Facebook, right? Because most of us don't give these things a second thought. It's kind of expected that Facebook IDs, phone numbers, full names, locations, these are all things that are just part of the Facebook experience. And so I think this is the downside of that. You're seeing the flip side. And in terms of how this actually happened, on Monday, the product management director of Facebook, Mike Clark, actually shared a blog post on Facebook's website addressing the report itself and saying that the collection of data by malicious users wasn't through a hack. Instead, it was through scraping. These words are terrible. It's hack or scrape. But instead, it was through scraping it from their platform, which actually happened back in 2019 using their contact importer. The contact importer was updated after Facebook pinpointed that this was actually how the breach happened in the first place.
See, the thing is, this isn't the first time, the questions of data breach and Facebook have come together, right? And I think as more and more people come to realize that being on these social media platforms isn't as benign as it might seem. I mean, it's all about sharing photos and commenting until something like this happens, right? So if we just look at some of the other things that have happened over the years, back in 2019, a whole bunch of phone numbers were exposed online because of an unsecured cloud server. And Facebook had to update their system so that this wouldn't happen again. In 2016, more than 80 million users were targeted with political ads as part of the US 2016 elections. And this, of course, was the Cambridge Analytica scandal, and profiles were used to create software programs that would predict and influence voters' choices. And Mark Zuckerberg actually had to face a hearing by the Congress in the US. So this has been something that has come up multiple times over the years. And while it is natural that as the platform evolves and more users start using it, it does become then a question of where does their responsibility end, as well as what we can do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I look forward to seeing Mark Zuckerberg once again sitting down and facing a congressional inquiry. But that won't solve it, right? Because I think the other thing to consider in talking about what kinds of information we have out there is how long it lives. Because you might not be active on Facebook. I'm certainly not active on Facebook. I hardly use it for anything anymore. I haven't, however, gotten rid of my account. And even if I did, I think I would have to do more work in order to actually do my own scrape as such and, you know, get rid of every single trace of my existence on the platform. And so all that means is that you made a decision maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago to join this platform. And now it's, even if you decided that you wanted to change your mind and get off it, it can be difficult and it can be complex. And I think that is actually the experience of being on social media. You make a decision, most likely it's for fun. And now when hacks happen, I think it exposes how difficult that can be to reckon with, or how that decision may not, we don't always see the direct through line, but it is actually there.
And I think it also brings up this question of, is it enough for these tech companies to say, okay, now there's been a problem and now we're going to handle it, instead of taking proactive action to make sure that this doesn't happen again, or to maybe inform users about what they're signing up for in more transparent language, right? Let us know whether you've checked. Has your Facebook account has the data been breached? You can actually check this on a website called haveibeenzucked.com. That's Z-U-C-K-E-D. And let us know whether, you know, this sort of news, does it have you reconsidering using Facebook or the other platforms that are also owned by Facebook, things like Instagram or WhatsApp? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And coming up, to understand exactly what happened with this data breach, we'll be speaking to Swaran Singh, partner at Law Partnership. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. Today, we're talking about the most recent Facebook data breach, where 11 million Malaysians had their Facebook account information shared online without their permission, of course. Let us know whether your account was one of them. You can actually check at haveibeenzucked.com. Let us know also whether this has got you reconsidering your use of Facebook in the first place. Are you thinking of quitting? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now, to understand what happened with this breach, we're now crossing over to Swaran Singh, partner at Law Partnership. Swaran, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
So this data leak involves 500 million Facebook accounts around the world, 11 million Malaysians. Mm-hmm. Could you explain what exactly happened and what sort of information has been leaked?
Well, there's good news and bad news in what has happened recently. So the good news is that the information that was taken has a public domain element to it. So this is information that, you know, you would ordinarily see if you have marked your Facebook in a public setting. So it will be things like your contact details, your info, your name, email, sometimes your full name, birth date, anniversaries that you have, your location movements, those sort of things. So these are things that are ordinarily seen in public if you have set your setting in that manner, or there could be a default setting that allows this information to be shown to potential new friends that you want to have. And the bad news is that this information was so easily, scraped by a third-party user. And in a way, the silver lining behind it would be that some of the more deeper-level information about the Facebook account, that has not been subject matter of the breach per se. What remains to be seen is there seems to be a conflicting opinion as to how recent was that information that was taken. So the data that was scraped seems to have been for 500 million over accounts, but there seems to be a discrepancy as to how recent or current the data was. Facebook is of the opinion that that was information of any individual current as at 2019, when they had updated their privacy settings and their internal mechanisms. But there's also another organization which says that more current numbers have also been found to have floated onto the online hacker space for this 500 million data. So what exactly happened was that you have, you know how sometimes when you sign up to the social media accounts, they ask you, do you want to connect with more people and try to get more friends? And how they do that is there's an algorithm that is built inside that social media site, be it social Facebook or even LinkedIn accounts, which then sort of connects or syncs with your contact data based on your phone number, name, your email accounts, and all other personal data, and they try to link up based on your contact list. And that is to sort of facilitate more friends being found and being connected. But at the same time, the flip side of that would be if someone else is able to tap into that syncing ability, they're able to then scrape or you know, skim that data from the user without them realizing it. And that's what's happened, really.
And, you know, Swaran, you talked about how there is a question about recentness, right? About when exactly this occurred. And this is because Facebook said the breach was a result of a weakness in the system in 2019. They've since addressed that. Firstly, I mean, could you help us understand that statement? But also, what is the likelihood of breaches like this continuing to occur?
So, I mean, so you have two contradictory statements on one side. Facebook has said that the data would be only as current as 2019. And, therefore anything that happened after that would be safe. Now, to me, that doesn't really give much, consolation or comfort to people because in 2 years, not much has happened and people have not really moved out due to COVID. So that would say that most of the contact data would probably be the same. Your birth date won't change. Your contact number is unlikely to change. Your email will probably be the same because you're still tapped into the whole Facebook network. Anniversaries are not going to change. Your location that has happened in the past, that's not going to change. You haven't moved much. So whatever movement that happened in 2019, in many ways becomes currently 2021. So that doesn't provide much comfort. And then there's also another agency that has said that the data is not just the cutoff is not 2019; it's as current as even 2021. So there seems to be inconsistency in that, and sort of plugging this hole back in 2019, to my mind, doesn't give much consolation. And to add on to that, the fact remains whether there could be further breaches occurring? The answer is yes. The Cambridge Analytica scandal happened in 2016 and then 2019, the so-called sort of security gap was looked into. And I wouldn't be surprised that in coming months, coming years, there will be further and further breaches because as the network gets bigger, so would the network of people wanting to tap into the information and movement of people. So I wouldn't be surprised that you would hear of another kind of a data breach occurring. And to my mind, there has to be a two-step approach on how to deal with something like this.
Now, what does this actually translate to for us? What do hackers or, you know, the people who scrape this information do with this and that they've gathered?
Good question. Let's start with the fact that the proportionality of Malaysian targets compared to the rest of the world is quite surprising because altogether, there were about 500 over million accounts hacked. And of those, 32 million were in the US and about 20 in France and 11 in Britain and about 6 in India. And then you have 11 million in Malaysia. And we are just one-tenth of the population of US, thereabouts, give or take. And we've got one-third of their number. That's quite staggering, if you ask me. So it just means that there's a lot of Malaysian data, personal data on Facebook that people are not really being careful about and it's being so easily scraped. That's something that people should be a bit cautious about. And what does that mean to people like you and I and the rest of the country is that it just means that our security systems and also our behavior towards protecting our privacy seem to be on the lax side. We're not being careful. We're not being looking into what's going on out there. We've been trusting in many ways. In that sense, allowing something like that to happen.
You referenced earlier the kinds of information that we give up, partly, you know, just to join these platforms, other times because we're told that this will help us gain more friends, get more followers, etc. And some of the information that was leaked includes full names, locations, birthdays, our email addresses, phone numbers, relationship statuses. Really, how necessary is it for platforms like Facebook to ask for this and for us to give it?
To my mind, it's not necessary at all. I mean, if you want to go to a social function, you don't really need to provide, we wouldn't really provide all that information, would you, right? If you're going for a meet and greet or a mingling session or, you know, what have you, that's not the level of information you would give. But we're happily giving all of that to Facebook and they're saying that we need this on the pretext of wanting to get more friends for you and the algorithms. But there's a dark side to it. All that is collected also for the fact that they want to lure people in more, get that and sell it to the advertisers and sort of try to sell certain products for you, curate certain articles, products based on your preferences and your initial setting. And then over time, the algorithm gets more and more fine-tuned. And in the end, that's what it is. It's become one big not a social network, but a sort of a socially targeted network for commercial purposes.
But in terms of engaging with these platforms, right? If we do want to continue using them, is there sort of a bare minimum of information that we can provide that still keeps us relatively safe?
I think so, definitely. So, for example, it comes down to, you know, I suppose forewarning everyone the risk that they're exposing themselves to. And also, for example, the information that you want to give, people are not aware that information is being made public, you know. So people are not aware of the repercussions of what they are happily giving out or divulging. For instance, you don't need to give a date of birth, exact year to get into Facebook. You could just give your month, for example, just the date and the month that will suffice. This is something that Facebook should put in place, a proper practices to tell everybody, look, if you giving this entire information, there's a risk of this being used against you by hackers to determine your age, to target you specifically for, you know, dating sites. And also in terms of, for example, using that date, and you can use that date and, you know, get more than, say, for example, 2/3 of your IC number figured out, right? So things like that, people don't understand that such information translates from a social casual exchange to something even more insidious. So that would be, I would say, something that they should need to do. And I also find that if you want to have a social network, I can build it along the way, as and when the things that I like, I can click favorite on it, the newspaper that I like or the articles that I like. I mean, as things go by, I can end up building my profile on what I would like curated without me divulging my relationship status, for example, or where I live or what I want or how old am I, right? So that would be my position on this.
In closing, do you think that tech companies take enough responsibility for our data privacy? And, you know, what else could they be doing?
Oh, they don't do much at all, I would say. I mean, if there's anything to go by, looking what's happened the last year or so, and the role that social media has played in the ongoing interaction politically, and also the social problems that have occurred by way of Facebook and other social media. Sort of, I will not say they facilitated it, but the fact is they ought to be aware that their platforms are now being used for nefarious purposes, and they have to step up. And they just cannot say, we do not know, we can't do much, it's just too difficult. All of that doesn't work, because it has been known that they're able to control certain kind of data and information going across. Like, for example, the incidents of teen suicides happening by the virtue of the fact that they've been instigated and incited and encouraged to sort of do that on various Instagram sites and Facebook. And steps have been taken because lobby groups of parents who were against it were so strong that these social media sites then took steps to bring down certain pages or, you know, sort of cut off certain kind of images and messaging that is going across. So don't say it cannot be done, because it has been done, but it takes a lot to move the needle. And I would say something drastic has to happen for the social media sites to realize that, you know, they just cannot put their hands up and say, it's just too much and you can't do and it's impossible, because that's just no longer acceptable. Because the fact of the matter is, 80% of Americans and many people in Europe have got, you know, a prime account for their video streaming and also an Amazon account, 80%. But it takes less to go after companies to sort of build the antitrust sort of things that need to be done. So to my mind, it's not sufficient just to say that, you know, something like that cannot be done or it's too dangerous. To my mind, it's lesser sort of threshold has been necessary for a big action to take place against other, you know, utility companies or mass spreading companies. But somehow that threshold, which is far exceeded as far as social media companies are concerned, is not enough. So I just think there seems to be there needs to be a shift in understanding that they shouldn't just be viewed as a social site. They're more than that already.
Swaran, thanks for those insights.
Most welcome. It's been a pleasure.
That was Swaran Singh, partner at Law Partnership. And let us know, you know, with all of this taken into account, have you been reconsidering your own use of Facebook or Instagram or WhatsApp? Have you quit? Are you thinking about it? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we've actually been asking you this on Twitter and Instagram. And our Instagram poll, you know, despite all of this, is quite an interesting one, because 88% of you still say no, you're not planning to quit social media platforms that are under Facebook, while only 12% say that they will.
Admittedly, we are asking you on Instagram, which is owned by Facebook. So that might have skewed the results a little bit. But we, on our Twitter poll, we've asked whether this has changed your mind. And so I think this is actually very telling, because close to 65% say, no, it hasn't changed my mind, but I am concerned. 18% say, no, it's not a big deal. And 16% say, yes, I'm quitting. And I think, you know, the no, but I'm concerned represents how much Facebook has integrated itself into our lives. A lot of us have, a lot of us keep in touch with people there. We are able to see our friends, our family, especially in these distant times. We use it sometimes to, sign up for profiles elsewhere. So it's just become so much a part of us that when these things happen, it's like, yes, yes, I'm really worried, but I'm not quitting.
But the really worried could also signal that you're going to do less and less on Facebook, even if you keep your account. And I wonder whether that's the case, that you might slowly wean yourself off of it. So we want to know whether this latest data breach through Facebook has got you reconsidering your use of it, or even your use of Instagram or WhatsApp, which are also owned by Facebook anyway. Let us know. Are you thinking of quitting or lessening your use of Facebook? Why or why not? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next on Inside Story, we'll be looking at what we can do to keep our data safe online. What are some measures that we can take, despite these things happening, to continue engaging online while staying safe? Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:37 and you're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. We're talking about the latest Facebook data breach, which impacts about 11 million Malaysians, with their data, personal data, being shared online. So earlier we heard about what exactly this means and how this impacts us from Swaran Singh of Law Partnerships. Now we're going to look at what we can do. Now, on a blog post shared by Facebook's own product management director, they did provide these precautions. So they recommended that you update your how people find and contact you control, and that you carry out regular privacy checkups by looking through your user profile settings. So these are a couple of things that they've suggested to make sure that this doesn't happen to you again.
Yes. And so joining us now, I think, to expand on that is CF Fong, who is the CEO of cybersecurity consultant for LGMS. Fong, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi, Lee. Nice to meet you again.
So let's start with this. What are some common privacy and security mistakes that people make when it comes to our social media accounts?
I think the common mistakes that most of us are making, including myself, I'm guilty of it, is to sometimes we're sharing too much personal information about ourselves on social media. Now, when I say personal information, it doesn't really confine to the information about we ourselves, but it's also information relating to our family members, relating to our children and siblings. And when we're sharing too much of this personal information, that is actually giving a third party the opportunity to do a detailed profiling on us, on our financial status, on our social circle, who are the people we're mixing with. In fact, this is the way technologies have changed how we behave. You know, for example, I just give a very simple example. It's just like before the times of social media, when we plan to have a whole family trip, right? We wouldn't publish the news about our family trip onto a piece of paper and then hand it out to all of our friends and neighbors and even strangers on the street, right? So, but things have changed. I mean, technologies have changed the way how we think. And in a way, we are doing the same thing now when we are posting all this information on social media about our family trip and how long are we going to be away. And we put it on our social media, and while we are traveling, we are shooting pictures of we are having a nice meal, you know, we are having fun in the different foreign countries, and we are sharing all this on the social media. And in a way, this is actually, it's the same like we are telling the whole world, we are not at home, you know, please come and visit our house. And this is the thing that a lot of us, because of the age of social media, it has changed the way how we think about security. So something that we need to really keep in mind of to be more careful when we are sharing something on the internet.
So when it comes to our digital accounts, how can we secure them?
Well, I think most of us, we have a password, right? Now, having a secure password is one thing. And we also have to make sure that our passwords are up to date. You know, I myself as a securities practitioner, I used to have one password to access all different accounts. Now, this is a very, very dangerous move because, you see, our password have a lifespan. You know, our password we just have to look at it from a worst case scenario. There will be a chance where our password get exposed. You know, either when we use a social media platform, and then somehow or rather this social media platform suffered a data leak, and then somehow on one way or another our password was leaked out. So we have to plan for the worst that our password can be exposed someday. So it's always good, right? Always good to choose a secure password, and it's always good to remember that our password has a lifespan. You need to change our password on a regular basis. Now the question is, how regular is regular, right? So it all depending on your personal risk profile. And I personally will change my password almost like half a year once. And if you're accessing some e-banking platform which require you to have a higher security, maybe you change it in a quarterly basis. But just bear in mind that password has a lifespan.
Now, another thing that a lot of platforms and apps now ask is for people to turn on two-factor authentication, which means, yes, you know, you log in with an ID or password, then you have to use another piece of information to identify yourself or open the app, etc. Is this something that you would recommend doing?
I would say absolutely yes. You know, if there's any social media platform that gives you the opportunity to use two-factor authentication, you should 110% use it, right? Because two-factor authentication is, in a way, is a guarantee that, you know, if the worst case happened, your password got compromised, someone found out about your password, that someone still has to have access to the other factor that allows him to authenticate himself. So if there's any ways that were for you to use two-factor authentication in any platform, particularly social media platform, right, please enable that. I think most of the social media platforms today have two-factor authentications like Gmail, your Facebook, even WhatsApp. You know, we just need to enable that.
And let's say we find that our accounts have been compromised. How should we respond?
Well, I think the first thing is sometimes when our social media account got compromised, we may not be the only victim. You see, when someone took over our identity on the social media, our friends, families who are, you know, who have previously have a connection with us, they may be the victim as well, because the scammer, whoever who took over your account, could have leveraging on this relationship and conduct their scams and whatnot on these people who are connecting to you. So I think the first thing to do is when your account was compromised, I'm assuming that we're talking about Facebook or Instagram and all that, right? So the first thing to do is to report it to the platform owner like Facebook, Instagram. The second thing is to notify your friends and family who have actual connections with you, letting them know that your account has been taken over, and ask them to be more careful and be more diligent. Now, the thing is, based on our experience working with law enforcement and even some of these platform owners, taking back an account is not that easy. It's kind of difficult. And so the thing that we can do is, again, when someone took over your account, means that quite likely your password has been exposed already. And quite likely, maybe even if you're not using two-factor authentication, that proves that your password has been exposed. But if you are already using two-factor authentication and your account still get compromised, then the next thing I would suggest you to do is do a thorough check on your mobile phone. Maybe perhaps your mobile phone, if even your mobile phone has been compromised. So of course, once you have lodged a report to the platform owner, I think it's very, very important to notify your friends.
Fong, something that I wanted to follow up on is, earlier you talked about the importance of changing your passwords every so often and actually doing that kind of audit, that online audit on your own account. What is on your checklist when you do this? What should everybody be following, and what schedule should we be doing this on?
Well, there's no one size fit all kind of a solution, right? So the more important thing is that some basic principle when we talk about password. Now, number one, the password should not be something that easily guessable. Again, when I say not easily guessable, it doesn't mean that the password cannot be easy to remember. Now, a good password has to be easy to remember, but hard to crack. Now, what do I mean by easy to remember? Like if you pick a phrase like I love Gmail, for example, I love Gmail is a phrase that it easily comes to you, and then probably you use this as a phrase to log into Gmail. But if you use the phrase itself just as in English, it is insecure. Consider easy to crack because it's just letters, right? So first of all, come up with an easy to remember password first. So let's assume that we have picked this as an easy to remember password. I love Gmail, right? So the next thing I would suggest you to do is make it hard to crack. So how do we make it hard to crack? Like if you look at the words I love Gmail, if you see the vowels, just replace it with numbers. Like A-E-I-O-U, replace it with numbers, and at the end maybe add an exclamation mark or double quote or whatnot. So this itself make the password hard to crack. And then you will have a password that easy to remember but hard to crack. And you can apply the same principle for other types of accounts. Like I said earlier, we should not use the same password for all different accounts. So assuming that you have a Gmail and then a Gmail account, then you use this password, I love Gmail, right? Obviously, don't use this password. Yeah, this is an example. Okay, let's say you have Instagram. You can use it like I like Instagram, right? So using the same principle, that's how one can create multiple different passwords for all different set of accounts.
So we have this question on WhatsApp from Go Kim Hock, who wants to know whether password manager is a good option.
Yes, this is a very frequently asked question. I personally do not use password manager because if you see what we see in our line of business and you don't tend to trust too much on software. So always, I think back to the root cause is that if you can come up with a good formula to come up with a strong password, it's better to remember here in your mind than using a software.
Fong, thanks so much for those tips.
You're most welcome.
That was CF Fong, CEO of cybersecurity consultant for LGMS. We've been asking you whether this has got you concerned, whether you're reconsidering your use of Facebook because of the recent data breach. And we've got some messages.
We do. So we have this from Vivigan, who says, I've been on Facebook for years now, no regrets. But then again, I'm still on WhatsApp, Instagram, Twitter, and perhaps worst of all, Google. It's really a case of out of the tiger's mouth, straight into the crocodile. I'm translating a problem.
Keluar mulut harimau, masuk mulut buaya.
Yes, just translating for everyone who may not speak Bahasa, but yes. And I think, yeah, that's so true, right? It's and sometimes that means that you just end up wanting to give up and stay on Facebook. And this is exactly how most of us just kind of continue our online lives.
So ZZ as well says, I deleted my Facebook 5 years ago and Instagram a year ago. It's completely freeing and I've got a lot of time back. I keep in touch with those dear to me. Now, if only I could delete my WhatsApp, but unfortunately it's imperative for work.
Exactly. And that speaks to, I think, like I said earlier, the ways in which that it's become really entrenched in our lives. Maybe not Facebook, but a lot of the other apps that are under it anyway.
Keep those thoughts coming. Let us know how you feel about continuing to use Facebook. Has this latest data breach changed your mind? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And coming up, we'll look at whether tech companies can be taken to task from a legal perspective when it comes to data leaks. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It is 6:49. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. We're talking about Facebook's data breach, where 11 million Malaysians had their data, their personal data exposed. And we heard earlier from CF Fong, who was giving us some tips on how we can keep our data safe online, or ways in which we can manage our passwords and our privacy as we continue to engage with social media platforms. So let us know whether this has got you changing your mind about things like Facebook. Do will you continue to use it? Have you reconsidered and perhaps thinking of quitting? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now to look at this from a legal perspective, whether there are legal actions that we can take towards tech companies when it comes to things like data breaches, we are crossing over to Thong Lai Ling, a lawyer specializing in technology, multimedia and communications, as well as data protection. Lai Ling, thanks for joining us. Currently, what sorts of laws are tech companies bound to when it comes to data privacy of their users?
Okay, so when it comes to data protection in Malaysia, all companies which are incorporated in Malaysia, and not just tech companies, right, are actually bound by the Personal Data Protection Act 2010. And under this Personal Data Protection Act, or PDPA for short, there are seven principles. And one of the principles is that of the security principle. And under this security principle, what it means is that an entity which processes personal data is a data user. They are required to comply with this security principle to protect the data of data subjects. And data subject is essentially an individual who is identified or identifiable from the personal data, such as, for example, the name, IC number, and telephone number combined, because just purely having the name is not sufficient to amount to personal data.
Do our laws right now here in Malaysia allow us to take action against companies if our data privacy is breached or misused?
Well, the PDPA actually has been in force since 2013. So going back to that security principle that I was talking about earlier, a data user under this principle is required to take practical steps to protect the personal data from any loss, modification, unauthorized or accidental disclosure by having regard to certain items. For example, the nature of the personal data, and the harm that would result in such loss and security measures, etc. And in addition to the PDPA, later on in 2015, the Personal Data Protection Standard came into force, and it actually specifies specific steps to be taken by the data user. For example, they are required to safeguard the personal data from malware threats, and they also need to control and limit the access to the personal data. For example, they have to try and ensure that only specific and specified employees have access to the personal data. So what they need to ensure is that not just anyone can have access to the data. So the question here, I guess, is that whether the data user has taken the practical steps to protect the personal data.
So what happens when that tech company is actually abroad? I mean, what laws would apply?
Yeah, so this one is a tricky one because what the PDPA states, right, at the moment is that the regulator, which is the Personal Data Protection Department in Malaysia, and as well as the commissioner, they need to see whether and consider whether they have jurisdiction in the first place. So what this means is that they need to look at the provisions of the Act, because at the moment what the PDPA states is that the PDPA itself, whether it can apply extraterritorially, meaning that it can apply to this tech company who is abroad, i.e. incorporated overseas, right? Only if the company, this company that is abroad, uses equipment in Malaysia to process the personal data, otherwise than for the purpose of transit through Malaysia. So process itself, the word process, right, is very wide. It's not just collecting the personal data, but it can also mean storing, accessing, or even modifying the data. So the question here is whether they, when they are processing, it's they are using this equipment in Malaysia. So obviously, when we use one, let's say, for example, me, I'm a Facebook user. I use my account in Malaysia, and I use my phone to actually enter, let's say, for example, if I make a Facebook post, right? And then some data is actually disclosed about me. It can mean that certain equipment, i.e. this equipment is my phone, is used to process the personal data. So there is some ambiguity as to whether they mean the device that's being used by the user, i.e. me, or the device that's being used by Facebook, and whether Facebook has its servers in Malaysia or not. So it is a bit of a question mark as to whether or not the PDPA would actually apply to a tech company which is abroad. So the regulator will need to consider whether they have jurisdiction in the first place.
So if we look at this current case with Facebook then, are there grounds for legal recourse in your opinion? What can users in Malaysia do?
Okay, so it's possible, as I said, you know, if the PDPA applies. So to what extent would the PDPA apply is also a bit of a question mark, and whether there's been a breach. So let's say, number one, if earlier what I said, the PDPA does apply, then let's go through what actually is the law that is being breached here. So the relevant law is the security principle and the personal data protection standard. So under this law, the data user is required to take practical steps to protect the personal data from any accidental disclosure, for example, right? So in this case, there is possibly a case of accidental disclosure. So it becomes a question of fact as to whether or not Facebook has already taken the practical steps to protect. So if, let's say, they already knew about a vulnerability in the system and they didn't do anything further about it, then I would say that it's arguable that, yes, they may have not done sufficient to take the practical steps to protect. But on the other hand, if they say that, well, we have actually gone through quite a lot of testing and we've done some penetration testing to make sure that our data is secure, then I think it becomes a bit more difficult to say that, yeah, they have not taken the practical steps. So what a user in Malaysia can do is that they can first make a complaint with the Personal Data Protection Department, who will then investigate and see whether or not the security principle has been breached. And if yes, there has been a breach, right, then the fine, there are fines and even an imprisonment term for breach of the security principle. But this actually, the fine doesn't go to the Facebook user. It actually goes to the government because it's a fine. So if you want to see whether or not you can bring an action, right, then you need to look at the terms of service, the Facebook terms of service, and see whether or not there are any warranties which are implied in there. And as I did have a very quick look at the terms of service that Facebook has, and they do actually specify that they disclaim all warranties, whether expressed or implied. So basically what they're saying here is that they do not warrant that all the data will be safe and there will not be any disclosure. And they even exclude liability to the fullest extent permitted by law. So it's going to be slightly tricky, I would say, to prove that if there's been a breach of the terms of service. But the good thing is that if this happens in Malaysia, then there is the Consumer Protection Act, which doesn't really allow you to exclude all liability. But the thing is, I also had a look at the terms of service. It's governed by the laws of California. So we're not sure whether the laws of California also has a similar consumer protection law like Malaysia does. Because as the terms of service is governed by the laws of California, we can't just look at Malaysian laws, but we have to look at the California laws as well.
Lai Ling, thanks so much for speaking with us. That was Thong Lai Ling, lawyer specializing in technology, multimedia and communications and data protection. So we've been taught, let us know what you think about this data breach. Has this got you reconsidering your use of Facebook? Are you thinking of quitting perhaps? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.